Good morning and welcome to All Saints Fordham and Atash Green. Do come and find a seat. Super to see you here. Welcome to those of you in the church building. Welcome to those watching online, listening on the telephone. This is our monthly all-age service, so a particular welcome to children and young people who've come with their families. Very pleased that you have been able to join us today. Last Sunday, we finished the teaching series on Revelation chapters 1 to 3, and now we turn our focus to the subject of prayer. Today and over the following two Sundays, we're going to listen to Jesus' teaching on prayer, and we're going to learn from the Master. Then in July, we'll look at several other Bible passages on this important topic. Each will give us different wisdom and depth to expand our understanding of prayer into a 3D picture. As we come to this subject this morning, I wonder how your personal prayer life is. How is your own praying? It may be that prayer is the most important thing to you in the world. Or it may be something that you really struggle with. It may be a joy. It may be a burden. Well, prayer is a gift to us from God, and it is a privilege that He listens to us when we speak to Him. And wherever you're at with prayer, my prayer for you with this summer series is that it will bless you and help you and grow your prayer life. All that you need for this all-age service can be found in the notice sheet and in a Bible, be that a paper copy or digital. We've been having problems with our digital projector in the church, and so we're not going to use that today. We aren't permitted to sing in the building, but we will finish our time together by moving into the churchyard, where I look forward to singing a praise song with you. Well, as we begin, let's come before God now as we pray together. A moment of quiet. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this day, which is a gift from you. We thank you for the summer weather and the beauty of the countryside around us this weekend. We've gathered today, Father, in the church and online to seek you. We've gathered to worship you. We want to know you better. And particularly, we ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit to teach us how to pray. Whether we are young or old, please help and grow us in our praying. We thank you that you listen to us. We seek your blessing on our time together and pray for your encouragement in our living for you. Amen. Our first song celebrates God's awesome creative power, seen in the stars and the sun, seen in the sky and the sea, in the seasons, and in countless species of creatures, from the highest of heights.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature you we fall to our knees as we humbly pray.
Heavenly Father, we recognize and celebrate your awesome creative power. We cannot tame you. We cannot box you up and control you. There's none greater than you. You are so much higher than we are. And yet you welcome us through Jesus to talk to you in prayer. You want us to know you as our Father. And we thank you for this awesome privilege. Amen. Let's continue in an attitude of prayer, remembering that the barrier to our relationship with God is our sinful thoughts and words and actions. We're going to confess our sins together using the saying sorry to God prayer on page 2. Jesus says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is close at hand. So let us turn away from our sin and turn to Christ, confessing our sins in penitence and faith." A moment of quiet for you to pray on your own. We pray together. Almighty God, long-suffering and of great goodness, I confess to you, I confess with my whole heart, my neglect and forgetfulness of your commandments, my wrongdoing, thinking and speaking, the hurts I have done to others, and the good I have left undone. O God, forgive me, for I have sinned against you, and raise me to newness of life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's Bible reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting at verse 5, and my son Tom is going to come and read that for us.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Tom. Jesus' teaching on prayer, part 1, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. We begin our summer focus on prayer with a question. How does Jesus want us to pray? Matthew chapter 6 contains teaching from Jesus which specifically answers this question. Through Matthew 6, we can learn from the Son of God himself about the right way to pray. It'd be helpful if you could have that Bible passage open in front of you, if you've got a Bible with you. And this talk is built on two questions, which are on page 5 of the notice sheet. Today we're going to look at the first half of that Bible reading, and then next Sunday we'll study the famous Lord's Prayer in the second half. In verses 5 to 8, Jesus explains to his disciples two ways not to pray. One wrong way from inside his own Jewish society, and then a second wrong way from other religious cultures outside of Judaism. Now, as we begin, this is interesting because it means that according to Jesus, there are right and wrong ways to pray. There are better and worse ways to pray. The right way to pray needs to be taught to us. It isn't just automatic that because we're part of the human race, we'll know how to pray and we'll know the right way. So we need to pay careful attention to Jesus' teaching. So the first of my two questions for us today is this: what is your motivation when you pray? What's your motivation when you pray? And Jesus says to us, don't pray like the hypocrites. These people were inside the Jewish society of which Jesus was himself part. And Jesus says that they've got prayer wrong because their motivation is wrong. Have a look with me at verse 5. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Their motivation in praying was to look good in front of other people. They liked praying in the synagogue building because lots of people could see them there. The synagogue was where the Jewish community met together in a similar way to we meet together in a church building. They liked to pray on street corners because other people could see them praying from at least two directions. A bend in the road would be good, a T-junction would be better, but best of all would be a crossroads, strategic, visible from four different directions. So what did Jesus mean when he used the word hypocrite? Well, when we pray, obviously, our audience should be God. When we pray, we're talking to God. But a hypocrite is someone who, while they're doing that, actually, their real audience is the other people around them. And this bit of teaching shows us Jesus' concern about the integrity of our heart motives as his followers. This was an emphasis of Jesus' that runs through his teaching, the importance of true heart motive. Chapter 6, verse 1, a few verses before the reading we heard, just helps to clarify. Jesus begins by saying, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven." Eugene Peterson puts it like this in his Message translation of Matthew chapter 6. "Be especially careful when you are trying to be good, so you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding." When it comes to prayer, two people can look on the outside like they're doing exactly the same thing, but inside, they have different motivations. And Rebecca and Rachel are going to help us to think a bit more about what we mean by a motive and motivation. So what is it that motivates you to get out of bed in the morning?
I'm sure all of us can relate to not wanting to get out of bed on maybe one morning a week, maybe one morning a month, could be every single day. You really just lay in there trying to think of one good reason to get out of bed. One of the particular times in life when it's even more of a struggle to motivate yourself out of bed is when you're a teenager. So we have an experiment here this morning. I have a teenager who, as you can see, is finding it quite hard to motivate herself to get out of bed. So I was thinking that we could maybe come up with some suggestions to get you going. I've got a suggestion. This isn't so much of an internal motivation, but an external motivation. Rebecca, if you don't get out of bed, I will prod you with the fork. No, not getting any response at all. Anybody else got any ideas of motivations that we could use? Marilyn. Oh, Rebecca, if you don't get out of bed, we will put a cold flannel all over you. No, not working. Yeah, what do you think? That's a good one. Rebecca, there's pizza in the oven. You can have it for breakfast if you get up. No, that's not working either. Any more suggestions of how we can motivate? Alice? Maybe. Did I see a hand up at the back? That's somewhere over there. Zoe, did you have your hand up? No? Bill, you had your hand up. You've probably got a good idea how to motivate her. Maybe. What else could we think of? I know. Let's try a bit of encouragement that to think of her life chances. Rebecca, it's a beautiful sunny day. If you go out and do some cycling or some running, you'll have a lovely relaxing day. And then tomorrow you'll be able to go to school, learn, have good life chances. No, that's definitely not a motivating factor either. This is really tricky. How are we going to get her out of bed? I don't know, but it's really hard, isn't it, to work out what we could do to get her out of bed and motivate her to get going in the morning. Ah, I think we've found a perfect motivation for a teenager. But what better motivation is there to get out of bed? The opportunity to have a good chat with your best friend. That's pretty good motivation.
Thank you, Rebecca and Rachel. Motivation is about the reason inside us why we do something. And when it comes to praying, two people can look on the outside like they're both doing exactly the same thing, but inside they have different motives. The hypocrites who Jesus criticized were praying in order to boost their status with other people. Do you see the problem? When you pray at a prayer meeting or at a church service, if your desire is to look good in front of other people, you've got the wrong motive, says Jesus. And the longer you've been a Christian and the more you value church, the more likely this is to be a problem for you. If you've got a leading role in church, it's possibly going to be even more of a problem. Jesus looked at the religious culture of his day and he saw some hypocrisy. Now, Jesus' declaration about this kind of praying is quite fun. Talking about hypocrites praying in the synagogue and street corners, he says in verse 5, "I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full." So if you pray to be seen by other people, then them seeing you will be your full reward. That's all you're going to get. Jesus tells us the antidote. Secret prayer is the cure for prayer hypocrisy. Verse 6, when you pray, Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Jesus' remedy for our desire to look good in front of other people is secret prayer, private prayer. And let's be honest, we all have the desire to look good in front of others. And if you're not looking for it in the church community, you'll be looking for it somewhere else. Maybe on the sports field. Perhaps on social media. Maybe you'll want to look good in front of other people in the workplace or in your exam results. So Jesus says, make time to pray on your own. Book in regular prayer meetings where only you will attend, where the only audience is God. So go to your room, it might be your bedroom or your study, a room where you can be alone. Close the door so you won't be overheard. And pray to your unseen Father, your hidden Father, says Jesus. Then your reward will be from God, not from being seen by other people. Come to your Father and talk to him in private. So this means that our private praying at home is really important, and it must come first before any forms of public praying. This doesn't mean, of course, this private praying, that public praying is wrong. It's good for us to pray together. It's good to lead the prayers in church, as Jeanette and Ben are going to do a little bit later on. It's good to come together at Prayer Focus. It's good to pray with others in your growth group or in your Luke group or Matthew group. When we hear others praying, it can encourage us in our own praying. But secret prayer must come first, says Jesus, because Jesus is concerned about our internal motivation, what's going on in our heart, the reason why we pray. So secret prayer is the cure for prayer hypocrisy. I want to encourage you to pray at home. Pray on your own. Come before God as your audience. Because this is what Jesus, who we follow, wants you to do. Well, on to our second question. What is God like when you pray? What's God like when you pray? And Jesus says, don't pray like the pagans. He continues in verse 7 with this second reason not to pray. Let me read it out to you. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't keep on babbling like the pagans. The original Greek word translated here as pagan was the word ethnikoi, and it referred to all the nations of the world outside Judaism. Sometimes the word Gentiles is used. Most of us are not Jewish, we're Gentiles. And 2,000 years have passed since Jesus first said these words. And during that time, the knowledge of God has gone throughout the world. It's come all the way to Colchester, and here we are gathered to listen to Jesus' teaching. But when Jesus first said these words, the knowledge of the true God had been revealed to the Jewish people, the descendants of Abraham, biological descendants. And Jesus says, don't mix up your praying with approaches to prayer from other religions. The particular problem that he's referring to is when someone thinks in prayer that they need to repeat things over and over again if God is going to hear them. Or they need to pray very long prayers if God's going to hear them. Verse 7 again, don't keep babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. The basic problem is thinking that God needs to be woken up if he's going to hear you. Perhaps he's sort of asleep, or he's gone off traveling. Or maybe he needs to be buttered up if he's going to respond to your prayers. Or maybe you need to twist his arm to get God to answer your prayer. These ways of thinking can lead to long, repetitive prayers in an attempt to force God to answer. And the problem is a basic misunderstanding of the character of God. We don't need to babble because God is omniscient. That's just a big word meaning that he knows everything. God hears our prayers. We don't need to shout to get God's attention. We need a right understanding of God's power and character in order to pray to him in the right way. And Jesus gives us the reason why we shouldn't babble and go on and on in our prayers. Have a look at verse 8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. That is an amazing statement. Let me read it again. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God is not distant. He doesn't need to be woken up. He isn't away traveling. He hears us everywhere. And he knows what we need before we get around to requesting it. So I've got a question for you to discuss for a couple of minutes. This is for you to think and talk about with the people that you're sitting with next to on your chair. So in your group of chairs. And here's the question. If God knows what we need before we ask him, what is the point of praying? And I particularly want to encourage children and younger people to think about this and share their thoughts. It's probably going to be with your parents who are sitting next to you. Let me say the question one more time. If God knows what we need before we ask him, what is the point of praying? We'll have a couple of minutes to think and talk about that.
Thank you.
Great to hear you discussing there. Let's draw those conversations to a close. Jesus tells us in verse 8 that God already knows your need before you ask him. So if that's the case, well, what's the point of praying? The answer is that God is a heavenly Father. Prayer is about a relationship with him. And if you have your Bible with you, please look again at verse 8. Do not be like them, that's the wordy prayers from other religions. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Jesus is talking to his disciples who have a father-child relationship with God. And prayer is about a relationship with God as Father. We pray as a son or daughter talking to his or her dad. That's the idea behind the banner graphic for today's service on the notice sheet. A child coming to his father. God is a person with character and personality. We pray to a heavenly Father who has full knowledge of us, of our actions, words, even our thoughts, a fuller knowledge than our human fathers do. So we're asking God for things in the context of our relationship with him. I'm a father to Tom, Sam, and Zoe, and I like it when they talk to me. As their dad, my relationship with them is important. Well, I'd still be their dad if we lived in different countries and never spoke to each other, but that's not what I want. I want a relationship with each of my children. And so prayer is about us cultivating a relationship with God as a heavenly Father who knows our needs before we ask and wants to know us. And it is helpful to recognize that God isn't just a force. He's a person with personality in terms of how we view him. It's not just an energy that we connect into. No, we're talking and connecting with a person. So we've come to the end of this talk, and let me just summarize. God wants us to talk to him and ask him for our needs in prayer. The reason to pray to God is not to look good in front of other people. And this is why Jesus encourages secret private prayer at home with the door closed. When we pray, we don't need to babble away with many words because God already knows what we need. We don't need to wake him up or badger him into action. And then Jesus goes on to give us a model prayer, the famous Lord's Prayer, which we pray each week in church, and we're going to pray it in a few minutes' time. This is a prayer to God as Father, and that's going to be our focus for next Sunday. Well, our next song is a prayer, asking for God to help us in our Monday to Friday life, asking for his blessing on the work of our hands. And I encourage you to pray along in your heart as you listen. Before you, I kneel.
Given your servant, I will.
Will you please stand? We continue in worship, declaring our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is on page 3 of the notice sheet. Christian people, do you believe and trust in God the Father? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe and trust in his Son, Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Do please sit down, and Jeanette and Ben are going to come and lead us in prayer.
Lord's Prayer, and we're going to pray that together now. You can find it on page 4 in the notice sheet. But this morning, as we pray it together, I'd like us to think more about the words, because it's very easy just to say it without even thinking and be thinking about something else. And so I'm going to read it quite slowly. So don't feel that we've got to rush this morning, but we're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together. So we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. If you'd like to look up, we're going to actually, as we pray, use our hand to help us this morning. Now, our first finger, our index finger, is the one you use to point at things. If you're reading, you might point to the words, or you might point to a newspaper article that you want to show somebody. If you're young and trendy, you might well have a phone or a tablet that you use your finger to find out all sorts of information about what's happening locally, in our country, all around the world. So, first of all, we're going to think of some things that are happening locally in the world, and we're going to have a few moments just thinking and praying by ourselves, and then Ben is going to lead us in a prayer together.
Heavenly Father, Thank you that no matter what is going on at the moment, you are in charge of our world. We pray for those people in other countries where the COVID vaccine is not readily available, and we ask that you would provide vaccines from the richer countries of the world. We pray for our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, as he considers what to do about the further easing of the coronavirus restrictions. Will you give him and his advisors wisdom so that we can be kept safe from harm while still considering those people whose jobs and livelihoods may be at risk? In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, our next finger is our middle finger, and I think if you check, it's the tallest finger. And so we're going to pray for those people who are in charge, who are in positions of responsibility. So we've already prayed for Boris Johnson, but he needs a lot of prayer at the moment, I think. We could pray for the Queen. We could pray for those who teach us at school or at college, for the police, for nurses and doctors. And we could pray for our church leaders. So there's lots to think and pray about in a few moments of quiet, and then Ben is again going to pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you for all the people who help us. Please help our teachers as they work hard teaching and caring for children who have had a very difficult time throughout lockdown. We thank you for nurses and doctors who are still working hard caring for the sick. Please give them the energy they need to continue caring. And we thank you for the Queen, who enjoyed birthday celebrations yesterday without her husband for the first time. Please help her as she continues to serve us at the age of 95. Also, we thank you for Francis and ask that you will help him as he leads us in Fordham and Atash Green. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our next finger is our ring finger. And those of us who are married will have a wedding ring. And so this finger reminds us to pray for those we love. Our mums, our dads, grandparents, wider church family, as well as our own biological families, friends that we have. So we're going to take a moment to pray for those people that we love.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us our families. When we're at home, help us to love and respect one another and always be kind and caring. Thank you too for our church family. Please help us to support and encourage each other, particularly now we can meet inside each other's homes once again. We ask that you will continue to keep us concerned for family and friends who don't yet know you, that we can share the love of Jesus with them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, if you're paying attention, you'll know that we move on to our little finger. And this finger is the smallest and perhaps the weakest. And so we're going to remember those who are perhaps sick at the moment, sad or unhappy or lonely, those who need our love and support. So have a think of those you know, and then we'll pray for them.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you know those people who are needing your help today. We remember John Leach, who is now at home after a time in a care home. We also remember Barbara Jones and those caring for her. Thank you that both John and Barbara know Jesus, and may they be close to him now and in the following days. In Jesus' name, Amen.
And now we move on to our thumb. Now perhaps when you're asked to pray, people say, put your hands together. And if you do that, you'll notice that your thumbs are pointing at you. So last of all, we're going to pray for ourselves. I wonder what our coming week is going to be like. Perhaps we're not looking forward to it because of difficulties. Or something good may be happening. Maybe we're going to see some friends that we haven't seen because of COVID. But whatever your week is, we can know that God knows all about it, and we can pray about that now.
Heavenly Father, thank you that you know what we need even before we ask. Help us this week to trust that you are always with us to help us whatever we do and wherever we go. Help us with those things we find difficult, and help us to remember to thank you when life is going well. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Jeanette and Ben, for leading us in prayer. In a few minutes' time, we're going to move into the churchyard to worship God together with the song, Jesus Christ, I Think Upon Your Sacrifice. But before that, some items of church family news. Please join me on Zoom for virtual coffee this morning at 11:30, particularly for those of you who are at home participating in this service. Look forward to connecting as a community and taking time to discuss today's teaching. With the summer series on prayer beginning, now would be a great time to join a church growth group. These meet weekly for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. And if you're interested, do please contact the church office or Keith Hodges, who's the growth group's coordinator. If you're new to All Saints Church, we're very pleased you've joined us. You're here today. Please fill in one of the welcome cards, which are on the table at the back. That will enable us to connect with you. And it's a green card over there. Yesterday, we hosted the Capital Youth Works Sorted Nano event for 11 to 15-year-olds in the John Owen Barn. And this was the first in-person youth event we've had since March 2020. 10 young people came from our church and St. Peter's in Colchester. The online content from Luke's Gospel was great, and it was really good to enjoy the sunshine and to be able to be together in person. The All Saints Club for 4 to 15-year-olds will begin again next Sunday, and that's going to continue online in the afternoons for a couple of weeks. But from July, Georgina's making plans for it to return to the JOB on Sunday mornings. The midweek coffee break will take place on Zoom this coming Wednesday at 10:30 a.m., a chance to connect and chat. And you are welcome to pass the Zoom link on to other friends and family who might like to join in. The Community Hub and Post Office will be open on Friday as usual, 11:45 to 1:45 p.m. Now, a couple of times a year, we organise tidy-up sessions for the two churchyards. And the next one for H. Ash Green is this coming Sunday, the 19th of June, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. There are some details. It's Saturday, the 19th of June. There are some details on page 7 in the notice sheet. And Alistair Grote, we very much appreciate your support in this important piece of work. Do contact him if you can serve our church and wider community in this way. Yes, and just on our youth work, we're looking for 421 to go back in person in the John Owen Barn. We've been online for quite some time now, since the beginning of the year. And the next one, in 2 Fridays' time, we're making plans to do that in the John Owen Barn. Daphne Harvey is on the back of the service sheet. She died during the lockdown last year, and because of that, only a small number were able to attend her funeral at the Colchester Crematorium. We're going to hold a service to celebrate her life, followed by the burial of her ashes here in the churchyard. That's going to be on Friday, the 2nd of July. So if you'd like to attend, please do contact her daughter, Rosie, so that she can organise the catering. And her contact details are in the notice sheet. We're looking to appoint a youth and children's minister. During April and May, we advertised the post, but very little interest was shown, with only 3 people even requesting the application document to find out the details of the post. And I contacted Capital Youth Works in London to ask for wisdom on why this had happened. Was there something wrong with our advert? What was the problem? And the feedback was simply that there are so many churches looking for youth and kids workers at the moment, and so few workers to go round. So we haven't been able to appoint anyone for this autumn, which is, of course, a disappointment, but we trust God as sovereign and look to him for his leading. So please pray for me, the wardens, and the PCC as we look for the way forward, particularly for this coming academic year. And the PCC is going to be meeting this Tuesday evening. Finally, at last month's all-age service, we offered you some open doors resources to encourage you in praying for Christians around the world in the countries where it's most difficult to follow Jesus. And my family and I have been using this map and also the prayer passport that comes with it to help us to pray. It's been great. You know, it's stretched us. It's stretched our view of the world. And already in the last month, we've prayed for North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Yemen, and Iran. So it's really moved us in our praying around the world. So I want to encourage you to make use of these resources. They're really excellent and well designed. If you'd like any help, tips on how to do that, It's not a terribly difficult or complicated thing to do, and we've got some further free copies available on the table just at the back there. So we're going to move to the churchyard now to sing. Please wait in your seat until a steward invites you to leave. Once outside, please would you move down along the side of the building this way so that there's room for everyone. Please stand with the people that you've been sitting with. So the people on your row, in effect, are your bubble for this time. Please stand together and let's keep a 2 meter distance between groups. You'll need your notice sheet so that you have the lyrics for the song. And we say farewell to those watching and listening at home. Thank you for joining us, and may God bless your week.